Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you have chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
Good morning. How are you? Man, we are so excited. Today we are going to be talking about the movie Captain Marvel. Have you guys seen Captain Marvel? I felt like I had to, like, I'm a woman, so I had to, like, pick a girl movie. And so this message, I think it applies to girls and guys, but it's just, Captain Marvel is so awesome. So, like, how do we not choose her? And there's so many lessons that we can learn from the movie as well. But if you are new here and you don't know who I am, my name is Carrie, and I'm married to Pastor Chris. And we have four children. Two of them are in the U.S. there now, and then I have two here. And this week, our oldest child, is giving birth to our first grandchild. So on Tuesday, me and then actually our two boys are going to get on a plane, and we're flying back to the U.S. to go and see my daughter. So we have to pray that the baby doesn't come before I get there, because last week she was already dilated 3 centimeters. And I was like, you can't have this baby until I get there. So just wait. So that's what we're praying for. But anyways, it's exciting, man. Life is exciting. And today's movie, I really hope and I pray that it's a movie, it's a message that gives you encouragement. I really came here today to encourage you, and I pray that God's word empowers you to live a life different than you've ever lived before, that you live your life to the fullest of everything that God has created you for. Today's movie, if you haven't seen Captain Marvel, this movie is basically the origin of the superhero Captain Marvel. She receives this special power when the energy core blows up, and then she actually loses her identity. So a lot of this movie, she's searching for her identity. She finds herself on this unfamiliar planet trying to regain her identity. The president of Marvel Studios says this character had been held back for much of her life from being able to pursue the kinds of things she wanted to pursue. She's constantly being told, you girls shouldn't do that. It's too dangerous for you. You'll get hurt. But this film is very much about this character learning to not hold back and not accept boundaries put in front of her. So are you guys ready for the first scene? Okay, let's roll that first scene. Scene, if nothing else, shows us that life isn't always what it seems. Like, who would ever imagine that sweet little grandma doing those flips and, like, zipping all around those rails? It's so funny, but nobody would have ever thought, like, she had that inside of her. And I was just thinking about today that for all of us, for every one of you, that there is something inside of you. There is something that maybe you don't see it, and maybe you can't feel it. But I'm here to remind you today that God has put something powerful, something remarkable inside of you. And he has given you an identity, that he has created you for a special plan and a special purpose. And so that's what today's whole message is about. You know, we can't trust everything that we see with our eyes. Honestly, living through this life, and as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, you can't look at your life through your physical eyes. You really do need to use your spiritual eyes. You need to use your faith to trust him. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see." And that's what I pray today, that your faith would be strengthened today, that you would be able to see something inside of you that maybe you don't see it with your physical eyes, but you would have the assurance to believe it today. So let's praise. Lord, I thank you, God, for this message. Father, I really believe that it's a message to all of us today. And I pray that, God, as I try to deliver this, that, Lord, you would divide it, Lord, in 100 different ways, that, God, it would apply to everyone that is sitting here today. God, I thank you, Lord, God, for what you're going to do. And I pray for you to anoint me, Lord, that these wouldn't be my words, but, Lord, that you would speak your words through me. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I believe that many of us here don't really know and understand our identity. You don't really understand what you were created to be, who you really are. Because if you did, I don't believe that we would live the lives that we live, that we would make the decisions that we make. And God is calling us to go deeper with him. He's calling us to move us to a different level today. He wants you to know your identity, know who you are. Because the enemy can only have a stronghold over your life when you don't know who you are. So the enemy can only come in and put a stronghold, like a fortress, right in the path of your life. He can only do that when you don't know who you are. And so I believe that God has given us a message today to be reminded of who we are. Rick Warren, he's a pastor. He wrote this book a couple years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. You guys probably remember it. I think it's like 10 or 15 years ago. It's an older book, but it has some really awesome things in it. And this one part, he said, "We're tempted to see ourselves as everyone else does. You know the way it goes. You see yourself as broken, as beaten up, or you see yourself as an addict or a former addict, or you see yourself as a failure. If that's what you believe about who you are, then you'll never become who God wants you to be. Because how you define your life determines your destiny. And it's important today of how we define our life, how you define your very own personal life, because it will determine your destiny. Your identity isn't your sin." I love this part. He said, "Your identity isn't your sin. Your identity is in your Savior." And so that's what we're going to learn about. Don't let the ugly words in your past or even in your present define you any longer. Other people may see you as broken, as damaged, but that's not how God sees you. And we have to know who we are. All right, we're ready for that second clip, if you guys can roll it.
"You don't know me. You have no idea who I am. I don't even know who I am.
You are Carol Danvers. You are the woman on that black box risking her life to do the right thing. My best friend, who supported me as a mother and a pilot when no one else did. You were smart and funny, and you were the most powerful person I knew, way before you could shoot fire from your fists. You hear me? Do you hear me? Come here. Come here, girl.
I love this part when Captain Marvel, so she's trying to figure out like her identity and who she was since this big accident. And then she comes across an old friend. And it's so powerful, the words of her friend reminding her of who she is. Man, it's so powerful when she's just looking her in her eyes and saying, "Do you hear me? Do you hear me?" I really believe that it is very important who we have around us. our words are important. The words that we say are important, but equally as important are the ones that you have around you, the ones that are speaking life into you, the ones that are speaking and reminding you of who you are. The other day, like about a week ago, we had a baptism. And there was about four of our church members that were baptized. And so each person had a family member or a friend there. And then a lot of our leaders were there. And Pastor Chris was sharing as he was going around and explaining this next step. When you get baptized, when you're going under the water, it's like you're saying, I am dying to my old self. I'm dying to my sins and my old ways. And when you come out of the water, it's like you're being made new again in Christ. And you're doing this as a witness. And there's this room full of all of us were there. And he said, would you give permission to all of the people here that if you ever walk off of God's path for your life, that we could have the permission to remind you of who you are, to remind you of this day when you died to yourself, when you became new. Can you give us permission for that? Man, it was so powerful because that's what the church is. That's what the church is for. Whenever one of our brothers and sisters are in sin, we don't just hide it and turn our head. No, we go to them and we tell them, hey, I'm here to remind you of who you are. You are bought with a price. We don't just turn our head and walk away and feel like that we don't have a role in that. No, it is our responsibility. Even this week, there were some people that were just facing some things and going through some struggles. And I met with every one of them, because I wanted to remind them of who they are. The life that they were living, that is not who they were. And that is so important in the people in our life. They speak to us and remind us of who we are. And it's so important that you know your identity. And maybe you're saying, how do I know my identity? Rick Warren said, you discover your purpose and identity through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gives these 5 points. And these 5 points sound so, like, simple. They sound like you're probably like, yeah, I know that. I know that. But I believe that God wants to speak these to you today because he really wants you to see yourself how he sees you. And the first point, God sees you as acceptable. God sees you as acceptable. He's accepted you. Because a lot of us throughout our life, we're striving for the acceptance of maybe our parents. Maybe, you know, we're trying to work hard. We're always trying to gain the acceptance of our parents, or maybe the acceptance of your friends. You want to be accepted, or maybe there's somebody that you envy or you look up to and you strive for this acceptance, and God is saying, I've already accepted you. I want you to focus on the way I see you. Don't worry about what other people think. God settled this long ago for us. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Because of his grace, he's made us right in his sight, and he gives us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Through his grace, he's made us right in his sight. So he's already accepted you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been, God accepted you. You're not accepted because you do what's right. You're accepted because of what Jesus did on your behalf. That's how we're accepted. And the number 2 point is God sees you as valuable. God sees every one of you as valuable. You know, a lot of times they say the value of something is maybe who owned it or what someone is willing to pay for it. My husband likes to collect things. He collects comic books and baseball cards and probably a lot of other things, coins, a lot of things. And maybe something is like worth $100. That's like the worth. But if the highest price someone's willing to pay is $20, well, that's all you're going to get is $20. But you get what I'm saying. Like there's, you guys are valuable. I believe that God wants you to see that you are more valuable than anything because you are his child. He calls us his child. And so if you're looking at like who your father is, when our father is the creator of the world, you are so valuable. And he paid the ultimate price for you by his son dying on the cross. His son paid that price for you. You are valuable. And the third one, you are lovable. You may not always feel loved, but I can promise you that over and over and over in God's word, he talks about his great love for you. In Isaiah 54:10, it says, the mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. I will keep forever my promise of peace. And you know, you think these are so easy, like, yeah, I know, I'm accepted, I'm valuable, I'm loved, but I really don't believe that we really, really see ourselves as that. Many times when we make the decisions that we make, when we fall into the sin and we follow after the maybe different people in our life, we're not walking, we're not truly walking like we are a child of God, like we are accepted, loved, and forgivable. And the fourth one is that you're forgivable. When you were born, God knew the mistakes that you were going to make. He knew already the sins that you were going to commit. But in Ephesians, he reminds us that even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ so that we would be holy and without fault before him. You know, our faults, it never surprises God, really, because he really knows everything. But he's known all along everything that we do, and yet he still offers us forgiveness. Man, there's no other God that is like him. And then the fifth one is that God sees you as capable. And what that means is he sees you as qualified. He sees you as gifted. You're not an accident. He created you for a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. He's made you completely capable to do what he's called you to do. I love the phrase, and it says, he who God calls, he qualifies and equips. And man, all throughout our life, I've really just remembered that. Like, everything that I've ever done, it's not really because I'm qualified. It's not really because I'm good at it, but God qualifies me. And when he qualifies me, it doesn't even really matter anything else. And that's the same for you, that when God has qualified you, it doesn't even matter what man says, what anybody else has to say. I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. To see your life how God sees it, you also have to see beyond yourself. You have to see that God has big plans for you, plans that are so big that you can't complete them on your own. You need him. And you need God's family. You need this church. We need each other so that we can keep pushing each other on, keep reminding each other of who we are and how God sees us. Okay, I think we're ready for that scene number three.
But the Skrulls are just fighting for a home. You're talking about destroying them because they won't submit to your rule. And neither will I.
We found you. We embraced you as our own.
You stole me. From my home. My family, my friends.
It's cute how hard you try. But remember, without us, you're weak. You're small. Helpless. We saved you.
Control.
He'll never let you plus aid again.
Without us, you're only human.
You're right. I'm only human.
You are reborn. Veers.
My name is Carol.
Fighting with one arm tied behind my back. But what happens when I'm finally set free?
And that line when she says, I've been fighting with one hand behind my back, but what happens when I'm finally set free? Man, how powerful. I think about our life as Christians, our life in the spiritual. When I see this girl and she's like, when she finally realizes her identity, when she finally realizes the power that God's put in her, man, she's an unstoppable force. I think a lot of times the things that are in our life that causes us not to see who we really are ourselves. I think a lot of times we label our own selves, maybe from our past experiences, maybe from like things that we've done before, and we constantly keep viewing ourselves as that. Or maybe it's some of our insecurities that we have in ourselves. And I believe that God today wants to remove all of those insecurities and all of those lies, because he wants you to see who you really are, who he says you are. It doesn't matter how the things that we've done in our life. And I know and I believe that every one of you, every one of us, we want everything in this life that God has to offer us. We want to truly be free. We want to truly walk this walk that God has prepared for us. Every one of you have a purpose. You have a plan, a specific plan for your life. That's unique. It's not like any others. And I believe that God wants you to see that today. When she said, you're only human. And the truth is, for us, we're not. We're not only human. Because we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. We have the Spirit of the living God. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and you. And if we really believed that, can you imagine the life of victory that we would live every single day? Every single day when you wake up, you have breath in your lungs. It's a new day that God has gifted to you. And if we really realize that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me, we would never have a bad day. We would never receive bad news. We would be able to trust and know, my God, I serve. I know who I am. I know he has good plans for me. We would never have to worry. We would never have nights of laying in bed feeling so worried and so depressed. We would live in the victory that God created us to live in. And if you don't believe me, if you don't believe me that God has a purpose for your life, I'll tell you one thing, the enemy does. And you have to know, he hates you. And he wants to do everything he can to stop you. But God wants you to see today, there is good news. That when we trust in him, when we see ourselves the way he sees us, you are unstoppable. You can look Satan in the face. You can look any problem in the face, and you won't be moved. You won't be afraid. You may fall down. I love that part when she's thinking back to when she was a little girl, and every time she fell down, she stood back up again. And that's the story of your life. Every one of us, we've all experienced things. We've all had times where we've fallen down or we felt like our life was over. But you know what? You got back up because you're here today. And God still has a plan for you. Man, can you imagine the power of this house, of this church, if we really walked in the power that God has created us for? Can you imagine the change of the people in your life? Can you imagine the ones that don't know Jesus and they're watching you and they're watching you walk in the full power that God has given to you? Can you imagine the ones that would say, I want to know who this Jesus is? It's us. I believe that God is saying, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to brush yourself off and stand up and walk in the power, in the identity, in the confidence of who I've called you to be. I love that part. You know, when she's holding her identity tag and it was broken, and the only thing that she had left from that accident was that tag, and it said Veers. So they called her this name, that nickname Veers. And she's standing there, and she looks Dr. Lawson straight in the face and says, my name is Carol. It was this moment where she recognized who she was, what her name really was. I believe that God today is talking to many of you because he wants you to see who you really are. Stop living your life in the idea of who you think you are, who the sins of your past, your mistakes, maybe even your family. Maybe you're like, my family's never done anything great. Like, why would, I'm from this family, why would I be able to do something great? And God is saying, no, I have a plan and a purpose for you. I was remembering a couple years ago when we were at when our organization, we were having a meeting, and it was time, we were voting on a new committee, and I remember I was thinking about, even for me, like, this journey that I've been on to really understand and recognize my identity, my destiny, the calling and the true calling that God has on my life. And I remember we're getting ready to vote, and I get my paper, and I write my husband's name down because I always vote for my husband. And I remember, like, as I'm, like, writing his name down, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, you're going to be on the committee. And I remember, like, I even, like, stopped myself. Like, how arrogant for you, Carrie, to think that you're going to be on this committee. But then the voting went, and my name went up, and then they voted me in. And before this, you know, I've always, and I can remember back, like, I always viewed myself as, you know, the mistakes that I'd made. You know, I'm Carrie. I had a baby in high school. That's who I am. I made a lot of mistakes. You know, a lot of everything that I ever did was a mistake, and that's who I was. And so even outside, like in my role, I never saw myself as anything. And that day, I really believe after I was voted on the committee that God began to teach me and speak to me, and he said, hey, you have a voice. I've given you a voice. I've given you what you need. I want to use you, and I want you to quit thinking about yourself and who you think you are, and you start looking at yourself at how I created you as. And since then, God has, like, been moving me and teaching me how to walk confidently in who he's created me as. And that's the power. I can feel it. I can feel myself every day. I can feel that he's empowering me. He's given me everything that I need. I don't care about myself. I don't care. I honestly don't even care what anybody thinks about me anymore. I only want him. I want to follow him. I want his identity over my life. I want to walk in everything that he's created me as. And that's what I know that God is wanting to speak to you today. You can't label yourself as the things that you're by your insecurities and your past failures. You've got to look at yourself and walk in the child of God that God has called you to be. I love that part, knowing your name. God wants to give you a new name. He wants you to walk in the name that he's given you today. In the Bible, it says that your name is chosen. You're handpicked by God himself. You are treasured. You're a treasure to God. You are irreplaceable. He will replace you. Your name is loved beyond compare. He doesn't compare. Your name is worth dying for. You're forgiven. You're his child. You're set free. You're precious to him. And you are set apart. You are set apart. We are not of this world. We are of a higher calling, a higher world. And a lot of times we look around and we just want to compare ourselves to everybody. We want to get this person's approval, that person's approval, when God's saying, all you need is my approval, and you have it. The scripture in Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I can stand here and tell you today, this life that I live, it's not about me. When we followed God here however many years ago, it wasn't because of anything about us. It's because we surrendered our lives to Christ and we said, God, whatever you want to do with me, God, you do it. I don't care. It's not about what I want, what I feel, what feels good, where I want to be. If I chose, I would honestly choose to be with my family. I would choose to be with my kids. But my life isn't about that. I know that my life is about Jesus and what he wants for me. And there's no better place that you can be than in the center of God's will, doing what he's called you to do. When you can trust him with anything and everything, we don't wish that I could go here or do this or do that. I can be happy. I can be content with being right here doing exactly what God's called me to do. You know, this week I'll take, my boys were going back to the U.S. and our son Nemo will be going and starting university in the fall. And it's never easy. But God never said it was going to be easy. It's always so, so hard. But I know in the depths of my heart that I can trust God with anything. I can trust him with my kids. He takes better care of them than even I can. But it's because I don't live for me anymore. I live for him. I only want what he wants for my life. You know, our son Nemo, you guys know him as Nemo. It's actually his nickname. He was 2 years old when we first moved here and just pretty much grew up here. And when he was about 3 or 4, he actually gave himself that name. He went to preschool and told his teachers they could call him Nemo because he had Nemo tennis shoes and he loved Nemo. Just takes it on himself to change his name. And then like a few weeks later, I realize he changed his name and everybody in the school was calling him Nemo. And now he's 18 years old and he still goes by Nemo. But the thing is, I was thinking, you know, a lot this week because, you know, if we're starting to get everything ready and getting him ready for this next season in his life. And because we live here and we live on the other side of the world from our kids, we have to launch them. So whenever they go back and it's time for college, we have to launch them. And he's at this season in his life, and I've been just thinking a lot about him. You know, his name's Nemo. He goes by Nemo. But I remember when I was... It was actually before I was pregnant. My husband was just reading God's word, and he was reading through the book of Nehemiah, and he said, we're going to name our next child Nehemiah. I didn't even realize that I was pregnant at the time. Thankfully, Nehemiah was a boy, or it would have been weird for a girl to be named Nehemiah, but God knew. So his name is Nehemiah, which means God is my comforter. And Nehemiah in the Bible was, man, he was so passionate for God's house that he, like, when God's people weren't following him, he beat them up. If you guys can, if you read the book of Nehemiah, he, like, ripped their hair out. Like, he was so passionate for God's house. Man, we always prayed. We prayed over all of our kids. After we became Christians, we always prayed for God to give us a name for our child. And so he named all of our kids. And so we just always pray. We've always just prayed to him. And I was just thinking about when he goes back, you know, and his nickname is Nemo. But he's about to walk out. He's about to discover his real identity. Because when you leave, like, your parents, when you go, like, you just kind of, it's the time that you discover more about yourself. He's going to discover his identity. He's going to discover his relationship and his walk with Jesus. And he's going to discover what his real name means. Like when she said, "My name is Carol." I know he's going to discover who he was named after, why God gave him that name. But I'm thinking about all of us here. I was thinking about all of you. What name have you given yourself? What name have you labeled yourself as? Because I believe today that God is saying, if it is anything besides what I've said about you, it is a lie. It is a lie from the enemy. And he's saying, you stand up, you brush yourself off, and you walk in the calling and the purpose that I've called you to. Can I ask somebody from the worship team to come on up? God wants to give you a new name. I know that God wants to do so much with this church. He wants to touch this city. He wants to heal the broken places in this city. And there's no way we can do it, just us. But he's called people to stand up, to think about ourselves like this superhero. Because in the spiritual, that's really who we look like. When you believe, when you really see yourself, when you really see yourself as how God created you, that's how we should live and we should walk. When there's any kind of things that come in our life, we can stand and stare the enemy in the face and say, I will not be moved. I know who I am. I know who God called me to be. Man, God wants to use you to do amazing things. That's the message for you today. I really felt it in my heart. I really felt like God was saying, you know, they think that they know how I love them, accepted them, how they're valuable, but they don't live it. They're not living it. And I want to remind you today that God is saying, hey, it's time. It's a new day. Man, he wants to do something amazing with you. He's created you to live a life of victory. You are victorious. We are victorious. And in the end, we win. This life is temporary. Everything we experience is temporary. But man, the things for God that we do are eternal. And that's what I'm going to be focused on. That's what I'm going to spend my life doing. Whatever it is that God wants me to do, I'll pour myself out as long as he wants me to. And that's what I believe that God, he's calling us as a church, as a people, saying, pour yourself out. Die to yourself. Live for me. Do you guys mind standing with me? Man, I love you so much. I know that God brought you here. I know he brought us together. He wants to use us to do something powerful for his kingdom. And we can't be moved anymore by our insecurities. Who cares what people think? Man can't hurt you. It doesn't matter about you. It only matters what God says and thinks about you. Man, I want God to be able to look out when it's time, when we're all standing in heaven, and man, he sees us as powerful warriors for his kingdom. That we weren't broken, that we didn't live like we were broken, but we lived like we were healed. That we lived victorious. Jesus, thank you, God. I thank you for every person in this room. God, I know that this message is for today. God, I know that, Lord, you want us to see us as how you see us, as clean, as accepted, loved, we're valuable, forgiven, and qualified and capable. I pray that, God, our eyes would be open, Lord, our hearts would be open, and that we would dare to believe that you could do amazing in our lives, God. And Jesus, I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you, that God, today they would start a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that God, you would show yourself, God, clearly to your people. God, if anybody has a doubt or wonders, Lord, are you real? God, are you for me? I pray that God, they would know that they know, Lord, that you are real and you are for them. God, raise up an army in this church for your kingdom. God, that we could go into the dark places of this city, that, Lord, this city would be changed because of the people here, your people here, Father. And I pray you start with us, Lord. God, I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.